Let's just continue in that prayer. Father God, we thank you for these words that we've sung, and we continue to pray them, that by your breath of life, by your Spirit, you would revive us and renew us. You would fit us as your church to meet this hour. Lord, as we think about it, that you would pour your Holy Spirit on us and speak to us today afresh, that you may change us and challenge us and comfort us and renew us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at the Creed these last weeks, and it strikes me as really powerful and pertinent in these days especially to keep our focus on the faith that has held and shaped God's people across nations and throughout the centuries through war, through famine, and through plague. We've reached the part, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I want us to grasp a little something of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, whilst not making this some sort of massive in-depth theological treatise on the Holy Spirit. You'll be glad to know this. Huge amounts of resources and books on that. But at the same time, not missing the moment to apply truth to us and to life in these days. We've talked lots about the Apostles' Creed being shaped by the story of God, who is one God and three persons. And we've talked about God the Father, and we've talked about Jesus Christ, his only Son, and here we meet the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. So as we do so, let's do as we've done every week, thinking about the creed, and say this together. Bingo. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let me start with two simple but really key points about God the Holy Spirit. And the first is this, that the Holy Spirit is a person who is fully God. As Jesus talks in John chapter 16 that we heard with his disciples about him going away, and as they wonder how they will cope without Jesus, he says, actually, my going to be with my Father means me sending to you another counselor or helper. Jesus implies that just as he's been with them as a counselor or helper or advocate, so another counselor is going to be with them. Like me, says Jesus. Not simply a power or a bit like the Force in Star Wars. An actual person coming alongside. Not as a physical being like Jesus, but as spirit. This person is spirit. So he's not limited to one place in the same way as Jesus in human form on earth. The spirit can be everywhere, in and with and alongside many people. God the Holy Spirit is a distinct person that Jesus talks about, a person who hears and speaks and convinces and testifies and shows and leads and guides and teaches and commands and forbids and desires. But in the mystery of the Trinity, a person wholly united to and one with the Father and the Son. So at other times he's referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of Jesus. To have the Spirit in and with us is to know Jesus in and with us. So, of course, to be filled with the Spirit is not to say, may the force be with you. I know I've combined two sci-fi people. But to be increased and shaped by the very person of God living with you. And the second simple but important thing to say is God the Holy Spirit has always been, and that's not one with a dot, 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 has always been something. No, literally, God the Holy Spirit has always been. And I say that to make clear the point that the Holy Spirit isn't someone who just cropped up in the New Testament at Pentecost when he was poured out on the believers. Rather, he's the eternal person of God who's been in the story of the Bible from before the beginning to the ongoing end. So from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, when we learn that at creation the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, or as I distinctly remember in the Bible class that I was in, as someone was reading that out and accidentally said, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, just clearing up the chaos there. All the way to Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the very end of the story of the Bible, the Spirit and the Bride, that is the church, the people of God, anticipating the return of Jesus. Now, I think it must have been 15 or 16 years ago, I and this pains me to remember, but I taught a seven-week course at the Bible College on the Holy Spirit, and it must have been agony for everybody involved. As you know, as you look back on things you did in the past and think, really? Did I do that? Did I do that badly? Really? Because it involved, I'm sure at some point, it involved touching every reference to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Anyway, it must have been agony. But I've no intention, you'll be glad to know this morning, of going through every reference to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Suffice to say this, there are many references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. For example, coming on Saul, King Saul and King David, or equipping artists like Bezalel and Aholiab. And if you don't know those names or haven't seen those references, there's a study. If you find yourself unable to go out and wondering what to do in the next week, there's one study you could take up for your benefit. But the point is, the Spirit is not a new character halfway through the story, but the eternal God throughout the story. His particular coming at Pentecost is promised as a special moment, but by no means his first appearance. Rather, it's better to say that just as God was at work in the beginning by his Spirit and by his Spirit in people in the Old Testament, and we have a number of individual accounts and references to that, so God promised that following the work of Jesus Christ, his Spirit would pour out in an unprecedented way to do his work and bring life among people across the nations. Now, I know this may seem odd, but well, there we are. I find one helpful way of thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit is as the great wedding organizer. Now, to talk about a wedding planner or organizer or helper may conjure all sorts of pictures or references in your mind, and not all of them helpful, I'm sure, to do with films or Mothers of the Bride or whoever. But I'm simply thinking, I simply want you to think of the Holy Spirit as a person, the person, who acts to come alongside and prepare both the bridegroom and the bride for the wedding that's been thought of and planned of for such a long time. Now, my justification for this is that a great theme that runs through the Bible is of a wedding. There's pictures painted in the Old Testament. You can read them in Hosea and Isaiah and Song of Songs, and they capture this relationship of love and commitment between God and his people. Jesus himself references in a number of his parables the wedding feast and his coming as the bridegroom. Paul picks it up in his letters in 2 Corinthians, and we saw it in Ephesians when we understood, we talked about human marriage, that it was a picture of the great relationship between Christ and his church. And at the very end of Revelation, as we've just noted, we have a picture of the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, God's people in God's place, anticipating the coming again of the bridegroom, Christ, and the Spirit and the bride saying, come, Lord Jesus. Well, listen, there's another in-depth Bible study for you to do when God gives you the time. But take this as the story for now. There's a father who has a beloved son for whom he wishes to have the perfect bride to marry. From the very beginning, we have the father and the son. And at the very end, we have the marriage waiting to happen, the wedding feast. But of course, the bride needs to be formed and made perfect to marry this perfect son for this perfect everlasting marriage. Work also needs to be done with the bridegroom, because to make the bride ready and perfect, he must first come and pay the ultimate price for her. So through the Bible runs this twin theme of the coming groom and the preparation of the bride. And this is the work of the Spirit. We've actually touched already in the Creed on the work of the Spirit with Christ. Creed. We've talked about his first coming and how that was pointed to by prophets of old, as Peter makes clear in the first chapter of his letter, by the Spirit in them. The Spirit told the prophets about this coming of Jesus. We've talked about Jesus' birth, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked of how baptized by the Spirit, Jesus, what it was to be fully reliant on and equipped by the Spirit as he lived his life and faced death. So the Holy Spirit, as the wedding organizer, has fully prepared the way for the bridegroom, who now sits on the throne one day to return for his wedding day. Meanwhile, on the throne, the bridegroom is sending out the Spirit to be at work in preparing the bride, calling God's people, the church, and preparing us for life in the future with Jesus forever. I'll give you now five brief, clear things to dwell on about the life and the work of God the Holy Spirit in us now. The first is this, that God the Holy Spirit is birthing the church in the world, bringing about God's bride in the world. Just as the Holy Spirit was at work with the Father and Son way back in creation, bringing about life, so he's at work today, bringing about new life. Just as God breathed his Spirit into Adam and each one of us, giving us life, so this breath of God, blowing like the wind, says Jesus, is bringing new life. Jesus says in John 16 that his Spirit's work is essentially to convict people that they need to believe and trust in Jesus, the King on the throne. To convict them of their sin, because they've turned from God and they need to turn back to him. To convict them that the only way they can become right with God is by putting their trust in Jesus, who's died and risen again and reigns as the only way to the Father and to life. To convince them that he will return as judge, ultimately dealing with them, but bringing life for all who trust in him. So the Spirit is at work, convicting people of the good news that we talked about last week, Jesus' victory and reign and return. And through that, bringing new life to people across the nations. God the Holy Spirit is birthing the church in the world. Now, we may sometimes become disheartened at the state of the church in our nation, or think God is at work. But friends, God is at work by his Spirit. And across the world, people are coming into the kingdom and finding life by the Spirit of Jesus. At the moment, we're consumed, aren't we, by this invisible power. A virus, moving where it will outside our complete control, threatening sickness and death. How much more, though, Jesus on the throne, is the Spirit at work, invisibly like the wind, totally outside our control, but bringing about God's purposes, new life, God's people, the church, throughout the world. And that means that the work of bringing new life, building the church, is one that we participate in. Actually, God does. The primary evangelist and the one who changes hearts and minds and lives and builds the church is the Holy Spirit. We play our part, but he is the bringer of life. We don't call the Spirit into what we do. The Spirit calls us into what he is doing. And that is going to be important, we think, as his people about our vision. It means we need to be on the lookout, not least in times like these, not just about how coronavirus is moving, but how God's Spirit is moving in and through the world. How do we see these days in faith, not fear, that God is at work bringing new life and birthing his church? And all of this also makes clear, doesn't it, that the remaining lines of the Creed that we've said this morning are not just kind of random add-ons at the end, but they tie up with the work of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is forming the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, his people across the world and throughout time. We'll think about this community of the Spirit, the us, not just the I, next week in one way or another, whether or not we're. But God the Holy Spirit is also about preparing us as the bride, purifying us now, the forgiveness of sins, and preparing us to have life with him forever when he returns, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That future is the hope of the Spirit, and we'll think about that in a couple of weeks' time. But let's just return to how God is working in us now as his bride. We've said he is birthing the church in the world, but as Jen was helping us to understand, he is also God with us, God the Holy Spirit assuring us with his presence. As Jesus promises, the Holy Spirit will be our advocate, our helper, our counselor, whichever word we like, the one alongside us. He will live with us and be within us. And everyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord has God's Spirit in them. He is with us as his people. He's the one who assures us by that presence that because of Jesus, we can call God our Father. We can know that we're right with God, that we're forgiven by him, that sin is dealt with once and for all, that guilt is washed away, that God's promises for us and our future are true, that our hope is real. He is, says the Bible, God's guarantee, his deposit, his down payment, that we can know and experience now in anticipation of the fullness of life with God. The bride can experience an insight now in the already not yet that we talked about last week of what life will be like as God lives with us by his Spirit. As Jesus is there anticipating leaving his disciples to go to heaven, he's at the same time saying to them, yet I am with you by my Spirit. In whatever you go through, in the darkest of moments, our God is with us, alongside us, giving strength and comfort and a peace that only he can give. So if we ask in the throes of life, where is my God in all this? Where is Jesus when I need him? Be assured, he is right there with you. Part of what it means to have the Holy Spirit with us is to have him speak to us, to point us to Jesus, to guide us in truth, to remind us of things we need to be reminded of, to teach us and lead us, as Jesus told the disciples. Here's the wedding organizer sitting the bride down and telling her all she needs to know about the groom and about living life in anticipation of him coming. Now, the Spirit can and does speak in many ways, and by God's power imparts God's truth and message to whom he will, how he will. But we understand that the primary way the Spirit speaks is through God's Word, the Bible. God has spoken. God's Spirit inspired prophets and authors and apostles to write his words in accounts and letters and poetry and songs, stories. But God still speaks by his Spirit today through the Bible. Today, we can hear his voice. So coming to the Bible, reading it, listening to it, understanding it, it's not simply an intellectual exercise or a comprehension exercise, though we have to use our minds. We're listening to God speaking to us today, discerning what he wants to say to us now. We come to the Bible to hear God, to encounter his Spirit. We come with expectation. Man shall not live by bread alone, says Jesus, nor even toilet paper by the looks of things, but by the word of God, and by his Spirit. So let me urge you to read and listen to this book, and to come to it prayerfully, recognizing that we're seeking God to speak into our lives by his Spirit through it, and to come to it humbly, listening for God, and to come to it expectantly, because God speaks to us truth. And as his Spirit is at work, he wants to set the agenda for us and our lives. Let me ask you how we will make these coming days, when we will potentially have more time to ourselves than we've... How will we spend them intently listening to God speak by his Spirit through his Word? So let me then add a fourth point to that, which is that God the Holy Spirit is shaping our lives. as he assures us of what Christ has done and is doing in his presence with us, and as he speaks to us, he is shaping us as Jesus' perfect bride. The Holy Spirit is about making us holy, sanctifying us, to use the bigger theological term. Now, we may experience particular moments and experiences of that which are out of the ordinary, perhaps as God is profoundly speaking to us and deepening our relationship with him. But it's also the ongoing daily work of God's Spirit in us. We look to Jesus and listen to the Spirit and seek to follow him, that he's shaping us to live like him, to obey him, to live in his ways, not least to produce the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Maybe in these days, he's calling us to be his people, to be holy, in response to a virus that's highlighting some of the best of humans and some of the worst. How is the Spirit in us transforming us through his assuring presence but challenging words to live in faith, not fear? Not to be self-centered, but to be those who care for the vulnerable, who love our neighbor. And I might say here too, as the Holy Spirit shapes our lives, he's constantly pointing us to Jesus and assuring us, and that's comforting. But he's also wanting to challenge and change us, which is discomforting, isn't it? He comes to comfort us, but not to leave us in our comfort zones. When in Narnia, Lucy asked that Aslan the lion was safe, perhaps you know the response. Safe? He's good, but he's not safe. Let's be open to that as we seek to be transformed by God's Spirit. But know that as he shapes us and leads us out of our comfort zones, he also equips us with all that we're all of us gifted by God's Holy Spirit. We've all got gifts to use. We've seen this in Ephesians. We'll touch on this again next week, but God gifts each part of the body to play their part, each one of us. At times in Scripture, though, and with us, God equips people in particular ways for a particular time or task by his Holy Spirit. Sometimes that seems sensational, sometimes less so. I remember distinctly a number of years ago, I was chaplain to Roy Patton, who's the minister I was assistant to, and then when he became the moderator of the Presbyterian Church for a year, I was one of his chaplains. And it was a great experience for me to see a clear example of God giving Roy his Spirit for this particular task. Because Roy was particularly emboldened in his speech and in his person for the service of the church in that way. And you could really see that. It wasn't sensational, but it was clearly the Spirit at work. And that may happen for us too in different ways, for a reason, for a task, for the good of the church, for the honor of Jesus. God the Holy Spirit still works sensationally, I believe, and we may see that. He also works non-sensationally, but just as amazingly. Every day we wake up as a Christian, that's a miracle of the Spirit, keeping us and sustaining us. Every time we speak words of witness about Jesus, even those stumbling words we kind of just get out, yet that is the Spirit empowering us to point others to Jesus. Every time we shine for Christ through what we perhaps don't say in the office or do in our families, in our neighborhoods, that is God the Holy Spirit at work in us, shaping us and equipping us to live for Jesus. Praise God for that. And come what may in these days, may we be open to the life and assurance and presence and words and shaping and guiding and challenge and equipping of God the Holy Spirit, the glory and the love of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have made us and that you have called us into your family. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you that you have lived by the power of the Spirit, died for us, that you've risen again in victory, that you reign and that you will come again. Holy Spirit, We praise you and we thank you that you have come to us, that you are God with us, that you are helping us to live now for Jesus and in anticipation of his coming again when we will be with him forever. Holy Spirit, help us to see you at work in our world, birthing your church. Help us to know your assuring presence with us. Help us to listen to you speak your words of life and truth into our lives. Help us to humbly respond as you shape us and equip us to live for you in these days, in faith, not fear. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.